All right, welcome to the 5 o'clock hour. An hour from now, NASCAR fans, Davey Siegel will join us. He does each and every Friday talk about Talladega this weekend. Obviously, take a peek back at what happened last week in Texas as well. That comes up at 6. Right now, talking some college football with you. And, of course, you can always join the conversation at 757-687-9494. That's the text line and the phone line to get on board here today. So the news came out. Not that this is a shock. I call it the Michigan rule. I don't know what you call it. But helmet communication is now allowed in college football.
All right.
For FBS games. Also, two-minute warning timeouts at the end of each half are coming in as well. As the playing rules and oversight panel made these decisions. So, again, you can use the, you don't have to. Like, if you want to go old school and use the hand signals and all that other stuff, you know, you can do that still. You know, you can still do that if you want to play the card games on the sideline. I guess you can still do it if maybe your school's like, no, I'm not paying for this crap. You know, we're not doing technology.
That could certainly happen.
Maybe they're going to do that, but. If you want, you can have coach-to-player communications through the helmet of one player on the field designated with a green dot in the middle of his helmet. Several teams use the helmet communication during the bowl season, but it will now be an option for every game in the sport in the FBS level, not FCS, but FBS. So coach-to-player communication. Now, here was a question that Ricky Ronnie had for us, remember, during the season. He said, well, what's going to happen? Are they going to allow the coaches to talk up to snap? Like, when does the helmet communication shut off? Mm-hmm. So the communication will shut off with 15 seconds left on the play clock before the ball snaps.
Well, most of these teams don't huddle anyways.
So. Right. So that's a fairly decent amount of time, but it's not to the point where it's too far down. Like, my knock on this helmet communication in the NFL for the last several years has been guys like Sean McVay who run down the sideline and read the defense for their guy. You know, I don't know if that's like, are we really developing the best readers of deep pre-snap readers of quarterbacks and we're, you know, you're getting the cheat code from the coach on the sideline. But again, this is a generation of kids who grew up with cheat codes and video games. So I don't know.
That's fair.
Maybe that's why. But whatever happens, it's either 15 seconds left on the play clock or the snap of the ball. So if you're a team that snaps the ball early, you can literally talk up the snap telling your quarterback your coverages, mm-hmm. which I'm assuming, maybe I'm wrong, that most teams will try to do. Now, the NFL and some high school associations have had helmet communications for a long time. FBS discussed it for several years, but didn't propose it until March. Concerns about costs, logistics, and liability and warranties of the helmets being modified contributed to the delay. Of course, it gained a little attention thanks to Michigan orchestrating their little sign-stealing campaign. Georgia coach Kirby Smart, the Rules Committee co-chair, said, they still expect many teams to still use the hand signals to relay in plays because that's so much fun. Oh, look, you wear this hat colored. It's We're going to put up the big tarp and, you know, we're going to have signs and we're going to show pictures of celebrities on the sideline, all this stuff. I don't know. Well, we're going to have Coach Ronnie on, next Thursday at the draft party?
Yep.
So we'll ask him what ODU is going to do about this, if they're going to dive into this world or go the other way. Because you would think they'd want to have time to kind of work with it, right?
You'd think so.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they're getting this news now, give teams a chance to kind of work on this, although spring football's over now, so.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's crazy, so they have time for it. Okay, and the other big story today is they're going to have this play clock, or this two-minute warning, which we've had the NFL forever, right? But college football has resisted the two-minute warning. And resisted doing it. So they're going to have it at the end of the first half and also at the end of the fourth quarter as well. So at the end of the halves, this will be in play. And, you know, always a concern when you hear something like this of college football. They love to make these games longer than they need to be. They've tried speed-up rules. They've failed miserably. No thanks, right? Like, this is Yeah, it's just crazy. But now they say this is not going to be a television timeout.
Okay.
Well, you can do the thing that they do in soccer, right? And they do in pro football, too. And I think they do in some colleges, right? They slide up the ad, right? Like, they don't leave the field. They slide up the ad for, like, a 15-second hit or things like that.
I wish it were that simple.
Yeah.
I really do. They'll never do that. I wish they would, but they won't.
Yeah, no thank you. Yeah, I don't want to do it. No,
thank you. We don't need more reasons to stop the clock in college football. We already stop it for almost everything.
Yeah, there is too many clock stoppages. I don't need that.
Don't even get me started on how long the replay reviews take.
That's the bigger thing that they've got to speed up, right, is how that happens. So speaking of replay, you're going to love this. Among the other changes approved today include allowing conferences the option to use a collaborative video replay review system. A collaborative replay review system.
I'm sure that'll work out really well.
Yeah. Also, I always thought this was a penalty, but apparently it's new. Penalizing horse collar tackles that occur within the tackle box as a 15-yard personal foul penalty. And head coaches now can also conduct interviews with the broadcast partners after the first and third quarters. If I could get rid of a couple things in college, well, this is all sports. The in-game interviews of the coaches are pointless.
Yeah.
Have we ever had a good one?
I don't think, well, I mean, soundbite-wise, yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've had like some, I mean, like, I used to feel bad for the late, great Craig Sager in the NBA. And Greg Popovich decided to make this like a farce at one point, and he just kept with it. And he gave you nothing, and it kind of became ha-ha funny. But then at some point, you're kind of like, why are we wasting our time with this? Like, this is so stupid. But the NBA, they do this. They do this, you know, in other sports as well. They get the halftime one, and half the time, like, Nick Saban's inching towards the sideline when he was doing it. You know, he's impatient about it. I mean, Mike Krzyzewski for years would send John Shire or one of his assistants to do it. He didn't want to do it. I don't know. You're never getting a lot of information out of it, I guess, is my biggest gripe. And it feels like we're kind of wasting time. We could have been doing something else.
Yeah.
It doesn't add a lot of value on these national broadcasts because they're not going to tell the whole nation as they're headed to a 15-minute locker room, or in the college football case, like a 30-minute break. Here's what we're going to do at halftime to adjust to win the game in the second half. In case, you know, somebody important is watching the broadcast, it can pass along to the other coach.
Not only that, but a lot of times these coaches are just, they're fired up. They want to get into the locker room, especially if the game's not going well. You want to go in there and you know, get to your guys as quickly as possible because you've got, you know, more amount of time than you do in the NFL to talk things over. But still, you got to get in there and use all the time that you can. The last thing you want to have to do is stop and talk to somebody who's going to ask you something that you pretty much knows coming because, you know, we were all watching the same thing.
Yeah, it's anyway, I don't think it's a great advantage. I guess it's something they can sell to somebody. And, you know, good for the sideline reporter industry, I guess. Even though I think if you ask most sideline reporters, would you rather have an actual sideline report to give or would you have to do one of these awkward in-game coaching interviews? They would probably side with, I would rather give something to report as opposed to the awkward in-game coaching interview.
Yeah, I can tell you right now that if you asked me, you know, do you want to talk to Coach Ronnie at the end of the first quarter, most of the time, I'm probably going to tell you no. Most of the time.
Well, and I think these are for, like, the national TV games, right?
Yeah. One would think.
Yeah, exactly. These are what they say for their broadcast partners, right?
Well, and they started doing that for certain games because I know that there were TV games that we had where Coach Ronnie had to do interviews during certain parts during the game, not just at halftime and at the end of the game. So that had been a thing on some of these like ACC network broadcasts and stuff like that.
All right, 757-687-9494, 757-687-9494. You want to text us, you want to jump aboard. By the way, the two-minute timeout, Steve Shaw says, the Secretary of Rules editor, said in March, will allow all end-of-half and end-of-game timing rules to be simplified and synced up with this timeout. This will also help broadcast partners avoid back-to-back media timeouts. So that is one of the things that elongates halves, right, is this stupid back-to-back media timeouts.
I still don't have confidence this will be executed properly. I've seen it blow up way too many times.
All right, 757-687-9494. The world of the NFL draft, we started talking about this today, and all these Jaden Daniels stories, well, not all stories, well, his agent with the thinking emoji after the Commanders visit, and of course now with Adam Schefter saying today he'd prefer to play for his old college coach, one of his old college coaches, which of course was Antonio Pierce with the Raiders. All that was said, we started wondering, like, where was all the drama that was supposed to be surrounding Caleb Williams? Well, we have a Caleb Williams quote as we are less than 6 days away from the draft to get to coming up. Scott Jackson, Joe Priority, Auto Sports Radio 94.1. We're brought to you by Larry King Law. All right, we're brought to you by Larry King Law. Injured in an accident? Call 757-INJURED, 757-INJURED. You know, we were talking about the Bears have been locked in for weeks, a month, on Caleb Williams from USC, and you haven't heard a peep, really, about it. And it was funny because it's much different than the story as the NFL season or the college season was going on last year. The NFL season was ending was, you know, hey, maybe he's a guy who doesn't want to go there and picks his own, you know, and tries to pull a John Elway or an Eli Manning. And that's been completely the opposite. Caleb Williams has been all in on being the top overall pick with the Bears. And today, Ryan Clark and his podcast, they released some clips from an episode coming up. And it's Caleb Williams in this piece says, I want to play at one place for 20 years and chase one guy, number 12. I want a place that loves ball. That's all I've heard about Chicago so far. So doesn't sound like a guy who's looking to cause problems.
No.
And his agent or his father has not done a thinking face emoji yet on any of this stuff. So that's a positive sign too, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised at how this is all sort of shaking out. And the timing of it is also very weird, you know.
Yeah, it is a little bit weird. So our poll question, by the way, in regards to Jaden Daniels and then this story, is it a story or is it a mention by Adam Schefter that he may prefer another place to play, being the Raiders, who are way back in the draft. Brought to you by Dominion Floor Covering. And again, you can get it on the X at Jackson Sports at ESPN 941 if you want to go. Go ahead and vote there. It says, the question is, if Jaden Daniels does not want to play for the Commanders, should they take him at number two? No, do not need the drama. The other option is draft him if you like him, work a trade to move back. Or of course, the favorite by many usually is other reply below. Right now, 46.7% say draft him if you like him, while 41.3% do not want to deal with the drama. And 10.7% still hoping for that trade back. My man Justin Richmond says, I took the no drama, especially from his mama route. Please trade back. So he's a please trade back crew. But yesterday, and again, nobody's going to kick Adam Peters out of the NFL if he's lying about this. Adam Peters said they did not want to trade back. Or they feel comfortable. More likely they're going to stay at two.
Yeah, he says they feel comfortable at two, which I still think they are.
Yeah, because again, maybe you do like Drake May. Love the Drake. Or maybe you hate the Drake and love J.J. McCarthy. Or maybe you don't really care what said player. This isn't free agency, right? Like this is a draft. I mean, this is how it works. Mm-hmm. You know, people that get drafted are not always happy as to where they get drafted. You just deal with it because it's pro ball. Like, what are you going to do? Sit out and go to the UFL? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
You go play in the UFL or the, what are some of these other leagues that they have right now? CFL? You could go play in Canada, I suppose.
Not to mention, I mean, you've earned nothing so far in the NFL. Not a thing. Yeah. You might be a great player, you might not be, but you've earned nothing. You have. I still don't know how these guys think they can say, "Oh, well, I won't play here." No, you'll play where you get drafted. That's how it works if you want to play in this league.
No doubt. I mean, again, it's you don't get to dictate under the current system, and that's the way the league. It's been successful doing it this way, trying to, help the teams that need the most help, right? Like by giving them the opportunity to move up.
Right.
If they make the right selections. Now, that being said, it does seem to be some redundancy on the teams that are picking the top 10.
There are, yes.
And one of which is Washington, who's picking for the second time at number two in the last five drafts. We're sitting here in 2020 as well. At number two. So they've been here before. Bears seem to be in the top part of the draft quite often themselves. Now, this, of course, is the Panthers pick that they're using at number one, but they also have, obviously, the ninth selection, which they earned on their own for the season they just had. So there is, a little bit of that, too. Arizona seems to be a regular in this top five area. This is new territory for the Patriots. I mean, this is brand new for them.
Right.
But boy, did they earn it with the crappy season they put together.
That they did.
I mean, they really, really earned it. They have been so, so awful.
Although there are perennial stinkers for a while, too, before the Belichick era.
Yeah. No,
can't
that's true.
About that.
That was a while. That was a ways back. But yeah, you do. I mean, there is still people old enough to remember that. There are some people still old enough to remember those days. But, you know, I mean, Pete Carroll, before Belichick, they were, what, 9-7 a few times. You know, they weren't awful. They were never really awful, awful. Parcells obviously had him in the Super Bowl before he wiggled his way out of town. But, yeah, this is a spot where, you know, the Bears, Arizona, Washington, now the Chargers are in here, too, this year, but not been a regular there. You know, Carolina would have been here had they not done the unthinkable last year and overly sold out in that draft.
Right.
And been there. I mean, they earned it. And if you're picking at this spot, you know, clearly you're hoping that you're never back here again. And this is also why, for those who are like, well, just pick, wait until next year and get a quarterback. Well, no, you don't want to wait another year. If there's quarterbacks in play this season, you do it now while you're all the way up there. You know, again, working under the premise of, yeah, we're going to be good. We're going to get better, and we're not going to be, you know, one of these, you know, bottom feeders on a regular basis that has to stay up here and take the selection.
Exactly. And quite frankly, if Jaden Daniels wants to play for the Raiders that bad, then you better make the Raiders give up the bag of all bags to go up there to get him, if that's the case. You need to make them overpay a ridiculous amount just because of all the drama that's happening.
All right, so here's another idea with this Raiders thing. If you did move back, because then you're always like, well, what if you don't get your quarterback? You also have the Raiders throw in addition to Mark Davis having to wear the black jumpsuit at the announcement of the trade, you have them throw in their minority partner, Tom Brady, in the deal. So he has to get out of the deal with them, and then he's part of your property. So again, you know, maybe Tom plays this year. Maybe Tom rolls it out for the Commanders this year while they're, you know, trying to get their stadium deal done. It'll help sell tickets. You know, how many weeks it lasts, who knows? You know, he'll probably have an old man injury at some point. But, you know, do it. You make Brady come out, you know, of retirement and play for you as part of the deal, too. I don't think Fox would be particularly happy about it, but too bad. That's what you get for dealing with Tom Brady.
What if we did it this way? What if we did it as, like, you know, we had conditions on trades all the time, right?
Yeah.
Conditional on if Washington is able to draft a quarterback at 13.
Yeah.
Like, if
you'd miss out on all the quarterbacks at 13...
And Penix is your cutoff, right?
Like Penix is the cutoff, then you owe an extra first or something. Yeah, I mean, I'm comfortable with that.
Like, if you can't get one of these five quarterbacks, then you've got to give us Tom Brady and he has to play.
There you go.
All right.
I like it. I'll go in for that. Get a roll that way. And that could be good news for Greg Olsen. I don't know. You know, he could then slide back to that number one spot on the TV, too.
I'm not so sure Greg Olsen couldn't start for us as well.
Well, I mean, we're starting Zach Ertz. Yeah. We're not really that far off,
are
we?
That's what I'm saying.
We're not really that far off. Oh, man. 757-687-9494. 757-687-9494. Now there's also a story today, which is funny because, again, this is what happens. This is much like last year with Will Levis, you know, who was moving up. He's going to be the second quarterback taken. Then all of a sudden, he's not even in the first round. There is this little thing going on as well with Bo Nix suddenly, where, you know, okay, maybe Bo Nix isn't a first rounder after all. Yeah, well, no kidding. I mean, again, they didn't even ask him or Penix, the NFL, in their mind that they were a 15 to 20 kind of player, which if you look then at the back part of the draft, unless somebody's trading back in, those are not teams that are going to be drafting quarterbacks anyway. So it kind of makes sense that You could talk yourself into it. Now, again, the Broncos are kind of the wild card. I guess they could go early on them if they wanted to, what have you. Or, again, somebody trades back in, you know, like the Baltimore Ravens did, you know, when they took Lamar Jackson. How many seasons ago was that? Like a million years ago.
Seems like forever ago.
Yeah, I know. It's really not. Two MVPs later. But anyway, so that was 2018. So maybe that's the scenario where you would still get Bo Nix, you know, in the first round. But otherwise, it looks more than likely, you know, you're probably saying Penix is the last first rounder that you feel really strongly about in this thing. Unless, of course, and it can't happen, both the Raiders and the Vikings are both not going to be able to trade up and get their guy.
Well, I mean, I certainly doubt it. Unless Washington trades out, because I think the Chargers is the perfect destination for Minnesota. I think that one's, you could almost lock that one in, because I think if you're moving up, it's going to be the Chargers, because the Cardinals aren't going anywhere. They'd be idiots if they did. Unless somebody jumps ahead of them to get Marvin Harrison Jr., they're not going anywhere.
All right, 757-687-9494. What does it take to get on probation in college football these days? And what are the punishments? Well, we finally found that answer out today with Arizona State. We'll get to it next year. Scott Jackson Show, Priority Auto Sports Radio, 94.1. We were brought to you by Larry King Law, James Witham, Sketch Sports Center. All right. By the way, we'll get to the weekend of NASCAR ahead at 6 with Davey Siegel. Also, some of the NBA playoff stuff, playing stuff. Hey, by the way, I saw Joey Crawford today. James, remember the NBA ref? Tim Duncan would probably rather not remember him.
Yeah.
He was speaking at the PIT luncheon. Thanks to Glenn Fritz, who invited me out there, part of the Portsmouth Sports Club group. I'm going to be speaking at their Jamboree next month. But that was fun. It was a great event, great spread. And the PIT does some amazing work. Congrats to our guy Billy Mann. His team won last night.
Nice.
Pretty big. So, you know, hopefully they keep it going. I was also in the elevator today with Josh Oduro, and he's still very tall. But there are bigger kids in the tournament than Josh Oduro, which is pretty wild. He's a legit 6'10", I would say.
Man.
He was mostly at Mason, but the one season at Providence. But it's a cool event. I mean, be interested to see, you know, as we track, we were talking about yesterday about your guy White, right, on the Celtics, who came through here.
Derek White.
White a couple seasons ago. And I think Alex Caruso came through here as well, who's obviously playing tonight for the Bulls. So you kind of track these players and see, you know, how many guys eventually get in the league and stick and that came through on the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament. It's pretty cool to see when it happens. All right. Today, the NCAA has announced that Arizona State and four former employees related to recruiting violations that occurred under former football coach Herm Edwards, who released a statement and said, "You play to win the game. Hello."
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't say that. I just said that. I was just pulling up an old Herm quote, but I bet that's what he was thinking when he was, you know, making these violations take place.
Oh, yeah.
Arizona State gets 4 years of probation, an undisclosed fine. Vacated games in which ineligible players competed, reduced scholarships, and recruiting restrictions. The NCAA did not provide details about any of this punishment. School also disassociated from a booster for 5 years. So you go away for 5 years and you can come back with your money. The NCAA acknowledged that the school had self-imposed a one-year bowl ban last season, so the Sun Devils will be eligible for a bowl game this year, and they'll be on TV again. Anyway, Herm Edwards, meanwhile, still on ESPN, was fired by the Sun Devils in 2022 after he was found to have committed a responsibility violation.
Okay.
Anyway, the allegations first came to light 3 years ago when a package of documents sent to the NCAA detailed several recruiting violations, including ignoring restrictions in place during the COVID-19 recruiting dead period. During this time, a mother of a player purchased travel accommodations for recruits to visit campus. Staff members provided guided tours to roughly a dozen recruits when the campus was closed to visitors, and a coach worked out a player in a park. The NCAA found that Arizona State also offered recruiting inducements, impermissible tryouts, and committed tampering. Now, this seems to be a little bit more detailed than what we got out of the Michigan report the other day, right?
Yeah, Michigan, it seemed like a little bit more.
Yeah, a lot more detail. Michigan agreed to announce probation for 3 years, undisclosed fine, recruiting restrictions. In addition, five of their current or former football employees agreed to a one-year show of cause order. And this was also from COVID recruitment. A lot of it centered around Harbaugh, who, of course, is in Los Angeles as the head coach of the Chargers now. But I find it kind of funny, because if you're like older, like our age, and you like grew up during real probation, like college, when like a college program went on probation, like it actually meant something.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You were going to lose a significant amount of scholarships, a significant amount. You were also going to lose television rights in some cases. In the SMU case, you got the death penalty.
Yep.
You were going to lose championships. You know, like the vacation of championships and stuff is so goofy to me because you can't make people forget like what they saw. You know,
no.
Like the Fab Five never existed, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to believe? Isn't that part of one of the punishments Michigan
yeah,
got?
Yeah, that's one of them.
It's so dumb, right? Like, oh, wait a minute. So Chris Weber, good news. You never called that dumb timeout when you didn't have one because it didn't count. Like, I mean, come on. Like, what is that? Like vacating championships. And I think, didn't Memphis under Calipari have to vacate the Final Four loss, the championship loss? Or what? I mean, it's like, it's so stupid.
Didn't USC have to vacate wins too because of the whole Reggie Bush thing? And,
yeah. Reggie Bush still has got his Heisman back. I mean, which is dumb. Absurd. I mean, at this point, I mean, come on. I don't know. It just, if it's not real probation, I mean, just stop it. Are they going to wear ankle bracelets? Are they going to have to wear, are these coaches going to wear ankle bracelets around? Are they not allowed to go to, like, casinos? I mean, what are the restrictions on these guys?
I think it's funny that we're still vacating wins. I mean, so can a team that would have, that lost to Arizona State during this time that didn't make a bowl, can we give them their bowl back?
Like right, if or they were, a coach that got fired, let's say, for not making a bowl that year, does he get his job back?
Yeah, so if you were a 5-7 team, lost to Arizona State that year, would have been 6-6, can you get your bowl?
Yeah.
Back, can the kids, I guess not.
Can the kids get the bowl money that they would have gotten back in those days and you couldn't get paid? You know, like the per diem money and all that stuff that you would have had, or the cool gaming console that you would have had, or the great experience of going to somewhere tropical or nice and warm, or maybe someplace terrible like, you know, Detroit or somewhere. I don't know. But it is goofy that they do these things. And, you know, okay, don't remember this ever happened. These we're taking away these championships and all these things. And this is why, you know, as an institution as a whole, people have a hard time taking the NCAA very seriously. And not to mention, of course, you know, meanwhile, they're getting their, you know, butts kicked in court every day over these things they're still trying to fight in the NIL space. That's not, you know, that aren't going anywhere for them.
They really, really don't seem like they know what they're doing. Like across the board. And it's baffling.
Yeah. It is kind of, well, it's been that way for a while.
And yet they're raking in money.
Oh, they're raking in a lot of money. They are still doing that despite their own, you know, their own self-inflicted wounds, if you will. So this is, again, all this stuff under Herm Edwards. I don't know if, like, Herm has to wear, like, a scarlet letter when he's on ESPN to show that he's in trouble for I don't know what happens here. But anyway, just like Harbaugh, too. Like, yeah, okay, is he got to get, like, checked in on by the NFL because of what happened in college? I mean, we made Terrell Pryor sit out some games because of what happened in college. For, you know, selling merch for tattoos.
Maybe that's really why Harbaugh's living in the RV.
That could be.
We don't know.
Maybe that was part of the punishment by Goodell. Look, you're going to have to live in an RV for a while. Just till this Michigan investigation blows over. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. But his lasting memory now, I mean, they should call, like, this headset thing now, like the Harbaugh rule, right? Like, you know, thanks to him. Everybody's got headsets. He's helped speed along the technology in college sports.
Maybe it'll all be worth it.
Yeah, maybe in the end it will all be worth it. All right, we'll get to the Talladega race coming up at 6 o'clock with Davey Siegel joins us from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. You know, tonight we got play-in doubleheader in the NBA in addition to the actual playoffs, like real playoffs, starting tomorrow as well in the league. All this stuff coming together quickly. And we'll actually have real games to care about, and no more long the play-in debacle will be out of the way. But a quadruple header tomorrow, start at 1 o'clock of actual meaningful playoff games with two teams that, you know, just a couple seasons ago you would have had not had on the old bingo card to be in the playoffs, the Magic and the Cavs.
Yeah, because that's the matchup everyone thought was going to happen.
Yeah. Or anybody's like, yeah, sure, Cavs and Magic, they're going to get back in the playoffs at some point.
I'm sure that everybody thought that Orlando would be the 3 seed as well. I'm sure that was
a
thing.
That's called a good tanking campaign, by the way.
There you go.
To get themselves back to where they were. All right, 757-687-9494, 757-687-9494. If you were impressed with what Tom Brady did a few years ago, playing at 45 years old in the NFL, a quarterback. I got one that blows that away next. Age is just a number here. Scott Jackson, your Priority Auto Sports Radio. 94.1, we're brought to you by Larry King Law. All right, we're brought to you by Larry King Law. All right, coming up at 6, we'll get a check on this weekend's race. NASCAR in Talladega this weekend. Last weekend, of course, was Texas. And yes, more Hendrick domination. Davey Siegel from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio will break it all down with us. At 6 o'clock, we'll also get into some of the NBA playoffs, the real playoffs, not the play-in, but the playoffs that are coming up this weekend in front of us. Last night, some history made in the National, well, not the National Hockey League, but in hockey. Jaromír Jágr scores his first goal as a pro since turning 52 years old. Of course, he is playing still professionally in his home in the Czech Republic. He's the owner of this franchise as well. The former Penguin turned 52, immediately scores as he surpasses the legend Gordie Howe to become the oldest player taking regular shifts in a pro hockey game. Howe, who did it at 52 in 11 days when he played his final NHL game in 1980, he later played with the Detroit Vipers and just did like a single shift in the IHL in 1997 at the age of 69. Of course, Gordie Howe died about 8 years ago now at this point. Jágr had not played since February, 5 days before he turned 52. He rejoined the team, the Kladno Knights, a top division team from his hometown of the Czech Republic, in his second game of the playoff relegation series. It's a big game, man. You don't want to get relegated. The former NHL great in his first shift was able to pick up a goal, and it was his 16th game in his 36th professional season. That is nuts. And he also had an assist in the game. I mean, still playing. Granted, it's not the NHL, but, you know, there's a lot of talent in the Czech Republic, needless to say. And they won the game, by the way, 7-2. So they're up 2-0 in the best of seven series to avoid relegation. So this is another great example of relegation. We were talking about this with soccer. Clearly, they've been doing it for a while. We were talking about it with college sports. Remember, this was one of these ideas. What do the guys call themselves? The College Sports Tomorrow Group? That they were, I know it sounds so stupid.
Think that's right, and that's why I'm laughing.
Yeah, no, it is. The CST, the College Sports of Tomorrow, they want to do this with college football. You know, with these, when they get to these super divisions, so we have like the Power Five teams, the ones that are currently Power Five teams, not before they break up, you know, and do this this change that we're about to have this next offseason, but they want to do it with those original teams and, you know, maybe break up into conferences. I mean, there's all these other goofy things that they're talking about, you know, that may happen. But anyway, we'll see what in fact takes place. But I do find it fascinating that they're doing it. By the way, I just realized my text has been down for like an hour.
Really?
Yeah. Or well, like 4:50 was the last time I checked it, and I'm seeing all these things over the last hour. So I apologize if I've been slow in the text.
We got time.
Yeah. 361 says the money grab around uniforms is insane. They look so bad. The City Connect jerseys in baseball, oh, those are trash.
Ugh.
Trash jerseys. So we're talking about the Lions in the last hour going to black jerseys. 252 says the Ravens black is not terrible. Agree. No, I would agree with that. That's fair. You know, they're not like a traditional team by any means. Raider James says the Steelers and Saints and Raiders, the only teams that should be allowed to wear black. Anyone else is a wannabe.
I'll put Saints in there.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the Saints, but sure.
But I still think Bengals is okay.
Yeah, it's not bad. But again, like decide, are you going to use the white alternative with the white helmet? I mean, isn't that a different?
I'd rather have that.
Yeah. Uh-oh, I got Dave, who's going to be our Seahawks rep, says, talk to Ashley at the Velvet Witch for tarot cards.
My wife does tarot cards as well.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Does she want to come and hang out for 4.5 hours with us and bring the kids along?
I don't think the kids would love that.
Why not? I think it'd be great. It would be great. And we'd have them out there. And like, again, after the pick, just tell your wife all she has to do. She just has to, whatever they, I don't even, like she could make it up. We have no idea what she's telling us. But we'd have to believe it because she's the tarot card expert. And she's, oh my God, I see tragedy in Drake May's future in Washington.
She's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
Oh,
that'd
be great. I mean, well, like even if she just came for like the first three picks with quarterbacks, it'd be funny. Oh, we got to do this. Oh, man. Oh, boy. By the way, Tyler in Virginia Beach, this is off of our fantasy trade segment. I say tell the Raiders to get up to number 4, and then we can talk. Trade me Max Crosby in the 4, and we can talk. And again, don't sell short that you need Mark Davis in black. That you need that to happen, too.
All of a sudden, now Raiders fans are ready to run Max Crosby out of town just because Jaden Daniels is available.
Well, now this is Tyler, who is a Commanders fan, so...
I mean, yeah, you want to put Max Crosby in the mix, then we'll talk.
757 says, tell the kids that they want to go to a specific teams and they want a specific draft. Tell them to go back and talk to Johnny Manziel and feel like what that's like to be a bird turd in the draft in the NFL and see where that gets them.
Wow.
That's funny. That's a good one. No wow. doubt. I mean, yeah. Hey, listen, it did work out. The three biggest instances of manipulating the draft to get what you want worked out well for John Elway. We can't deny it. Worked out really well. Worked out really well for Eli Manning.
Yes, and Philip Rivers.
Yeah, and Philip Rivers, who did, you know, he was the collateral damage and all that. And by the way, it worked out for Kobe Bryant.
Yes, it did.
You know, when he did it with the Hornets. So it happens. 757 says, hell no on Brady. He would get killed with our O-line. Look at the Jets with Rodgers. No way in hell no. No, but in the air raid offense, he's going to be throwing the ball quickly.
Well, and his health is his problem.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter. We don't need him for more than a few games anyway.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're not asking him to be a long-term solution. This is just a short-term thing. I don't think Fox would go for it. I don't think Fox is...
Josh Harris could buy them out, right?
...excited about all this stuff. Rich in Norfolk, yes, we're definitely getting to the Hendrick Motorsports guys with Davey coming up. He says, by the way, wish we had a better coaching staff or system. The Commanders/Redskins can get rid of those terrible black uniforms. Yes. Yes, yes. The funeral blacks, as I call them.
That's because every time they wear them, bad things happen.
Yeah. I think they've had one or two wins in them.
I would say one.
Yeah.
I don't even think I'd say two. I think that's
well, they beat the Falcons in them. I know that because I did the game.
I think that was it.
Greg in Gloucester says, happy Friday, fellas. Go Nuggets. Yeah, I'm feeling good for the Nuggets.
Yeah, I don't think you have too much trouble.
I don't think you have any problems. Tyler, who is our Colts rep, says, got a real Jackie Moon, huh? yes, uh-huh. Jahmyr Jager is now Jackie Moon. The Czech Jackie Moon. My last memory of Jahmyr Jager was the guy that the Capitals traded for and was so horribly awful. It was like over in a year and a half. I mean, it was so bad.
Yeah.
And by the way, this was before, you know, sports betting was in their conscience every day of the week. Supposedly, he had a big-time gambling debt, and that was one of his problems.
Interesting.
Reportedly. Allegedly. All those things you say when, you know, you don't want to get sued. 337 says Atlanta has a history of black uniforms based on the Falcons colors and on UGA. I like the Falcons don't look bad, but I like their original red jerseys much better, though.
Yeah, those were cool.
When they were red, like back in the day when they were playing outdoors, those were the Falcons. You know, the Billy White Shoes Johnson Falcons were better. I like the red.
I like the red helmets too. Quite
red helmets are awesome, but yeah, Jerry Glanville changed. And I don't know if I would necessarily just go with something because Jerry Glanville wanted it to happen.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But that was Jerry Glanville's thing because, you know, he thought he was Johnny Cash, and you know, he thought he was a lot of things. He was an interesting dude. He also has the greatest NFL Films quote of all time, the not for long one.
Yeah.
To the referee.
That is very right.
That was very funny. All right, Davey Siegel straight ahead. We'll do NASCAR Talladega this weekend. We'll get to the NBA weekend ahead, which is full of action. If you've got time just to sit on your couch, a lot of basketball, and the NHL also facing off this weekend. All right, Scott Jackson, show priority on the Sports Radio 94.1. We're brought to you by Larry King Law. Injured in accident? Call 757-INJURED, 757-INJURED.